Grab your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18, very familiar scripture. I'm sorry, I'm a mess. The Bible says in chapter 18, verse 35, it says, "And it came to pass, as he come nigh to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before him rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he come near, he asked him, saying, what would thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Look at that next part. Thy faith have saved thee. And the Bible says, and immediately, not tomorrow, not in the hour. The Bible says, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. God, I just thank you for what you're doing in this place. God, I pray for us tonight, God, as we, God, we're in your house. God, help us to, God, come in with a smile on our face. God, that you've done so much for us just in today. That God, the words can't thank you enough. God, I pray for this message tonight. God, I pray that you hide me behind you, God, that they don't see me. But God, they see you and hear from you. We leave this place, God, different than the way that we walked in. God, that we won't. God, we'll just give it all to you. Father, I love you and I thank you for what you're going to do in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You say, well, why is this song been on your mind? I want to read you this. There's a young lady that sings that song, and she takes it and she goes into a different song. Her name's Carrie Joe. Probably a lot of folks in here know her. But she sings this song and she goes into a different song, and it's getting back to the heart of worship. In the first verse of this thing says, when the music fades and all is stripped away, it says, and I simply come longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring to you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you've required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. And then it goes into this part and it says, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it says, and it's all about you. And it's all about you. And as I began to ask God on the way back from this morning, I had some time to kind of by myself and just to gather things. And I've preached this, and that song was on my mind. And as I went to eat Wednesday with Preacher Garrett Fitch and Preacher Mitch Gullidge, we were sitting there and we were talking about different revivals and just about the state of people and just about the different revivals that he's gone to. And he made mention of something, and it'll change my life forever. He said, you know when true revival comes? True revival comes when Jesus is enough. Amen. Think about that. True revival comes whenever Jesus is enough. Amen. True revival comes whenever Jesus is enough. I'll say that one more time. True revival will come whenever Jesus is enough. Whenever Jesus is enough. I'm not just talking about somebody in the book.
Come on.
I'm not talking about some fairy tale person.
Come on.
I'm talking about somebody that knows you by name, Brother Barry. He knows each and every hair upon your head. He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb.
Amen.
That's the one that I'm talking about. He is enough for us. Man, he went to a cross to die for the sins of the world so that through him that we have the opportunity to have eternal life with him.
Amen.
Through the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Through the blood of Jesus, Gavin.
Come on.
Is the only way in life. I just got just a few things that I've seen during this text, and I've read this text time and time and time again. And today as I was coming back, it just hit different. You know, whenever Jesus becomes enough, it's whenever we come to him in our real condition.
Come on. Amen.
When we come to Jesus in our real and true condition.
Come on.
You say, well, what do you mean? Bartimaeus. You can read this same text in Matthew chapter number 20 and Mark chapter 10. Matthew 20 gives a little bit different twist, and Mark chapter number 10 names Bartimaeus. Here we don't get the name, but in Mark chapter 10 we get the name of Bartimaeus. And he's by the wayside. He's blind. He's blind. He's walking around aimlessly. Day in and day out. And I got to thinking today, preacher, about that blindness. The Bible doesn't say how it happened, whether he was born or whether it was an injury, whatever. But I just can imagine as the older that he got, the easier that being blind got.
Amen.
That maybe he started out with a stick. Or something, somebody leading him, and then all of a sudden it transitioned from that to him being able to make it on his own. You've seen blind people walk around with the lead stick. And they'll walk in and they'll have their eyes closed, but you can watch them and they'll be slow in their steps. But friend, what after that? I just got to thinking that maybe he got to the point that he had done travel down that place so many times that all maybe he had to do, preacher, was just lift his hand and just touch something.
Come on.
You see, he had done gotten comfortable in a state of being blind that all he had to do was maybe walk with the hand out and just touch those things. His foots went in those same spots as they did the day before. He finds himself doing the same thing each and every day. He finds himself doing the same thing each and every day, walking with that hand out. You see, for me, it gets difficult. But he had been in it so long that he had gotten used to being blind. Stevie got used to being blind. I wonder how many of us tonight have gotten used to being blind. Blind to the things going on. When you come to church, you just... and you just sit there. You park in the same spot. You park in the same spots. you sit in the same seats, that all of a sudden it just becomes routine. But not only do you find him blind, the Bible said he was sitting by the wayside begging. He was sitting by the wayside begging, by the roadside begging in alms, begging of things. Sounds like to me, Steve, he got it rough. Dale, he got it pretty rough. Blind and begging. Bartimaeus, the blind beggar. That's who we see here. Sitting by the roadside begging. Begging, calling out, begging. But I'm going to tell you something. When you come to Jesus in your real, in your true state, I'm not talking about your Sunday best. I'm not talking about us coming in here with our shirts on and our coats on and everything tucked in. We got the ladies got the right amount of makeup, the hair turned the right way, covering it up, covering it up. Like we've got everything all together, but on the inside, we broke and slammed to pieces. Amen. On the inside, we're tore up. We don't even know which way to turn. But yet, when we walk in those back doors and get out of that car out there, hey, we got it all together. Can I tell you something? Jesus sees right through all of that. We can't hide from him.
Amen.
We can't, not only do you see that in order for Jesus to be enough, that we have to be in come in our real condition. C.S. Lewis said this, God doesn't want something from us. He just simply wants us.
Amen.
He wants you, Steve. He wants you. He don't want you to come in and to act like nobody else. Because guess who he made you, Steve? He made you, you.
Amen.
He made me, me.
Amen.
He made each and every one of us in this place the way that we are individually. He made you. And if we come to Jesus the way that we are, that is the only way in which we can get help. And not only that, but I want you to see that in order for Jesus to be enough, you have to have a sincere cry. You have to have a sincere cry. The Bible says in verse number 37, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And preacher, I got to thinking about that, just about how maybe he was just sitting there begging and all of a sudden the commotion's going on behind him. He hears footsteps walking and a lot of them, and all of a sudden he just hears just a little bit of Jesus of Nazareth.
Come on. Come on.
By God, Skip, I just imagined that. That as he heard that, the things that began to come into his mind. Man, those lepers, I heard about them. I heard those people walk by and talk about the woman with the issue of blood. And about how it was Jesus that she just reached out and touched the hem of the garment. And the blood condition that she spent all of those years, my God in heaven, that she spent all of those years, that all of a sudden was made whole. Man, that man that laid by the wayside,
yeah,
at that pool, he laid there for so many years. Man, I just imagine as he's sitting there, Bartimaeus is sitting there, all of a sudden those stories of just maybe people that have come by just bragging about, man, did you see what he did? Did you see what he did? Did you see what he did? Did you see what Jesus did? And I can imagine that something just welled up in Bartimaeus. And the Bible says that he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.
Amen.
You say, what does that mean? But he realized that he was the Messiah. And they which went before him rebuked him that he should hold his peace. Man, the crowd told him, said, hey, just be quiet. Just be quiet. You've been here for so long. Just be quiet. Just stay in the same condition that you come here in. Stay in that same condition. Stay blind. Stay being a beggar. And I just think, as he said, this is my opportunity.
Yeah, come on.
This is the day. This is the day. And he cried, the Bible says, and he cried much louder. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.
Amen.
Jesus, have mercy on me. Man, he didn't let the crowd.
That's right.
Listen to me, church. He didn't let the crowd keep him from his blessing.
That's right.
He didn't let the crowd keep him from his blessing, and he cried. He had a sincere cry. Matthew 14:30. Brother David, we do an awesome job of it. In the Easter plays, we're up there, we were in the sea, and the storm comes, and you see us all just giving in everything we got. We're bailing the water out. And Peter looks out and sees Jesus, Scotty. He said, Lord, if it's you bid me to come unto thee. And I said, you know, we're all shouting, get back in the boat, don't get out. I wonder how that story would have been if he had listened to the disciples. But no, he didn't. He got out and y'all know the story. He began to walk on the water. When his eyes were focused on Jesus, he begins to walk on the water. But when he got his mind focused and his eyes focused upon everything else that's going on around him, when the wind was boisterous and it was strong and the waves were... What did he begin to do? He began to sink. And what did he have to do? Lord, save me. The Bible says immediately.
That's right. Immediately.
Immediately. Immediately. Immediately, Steve. He picked him up out of his situation. Why? Because of a sincere cry. Man, when you get serious, Benji, when we get serious, nobody can keep you from crying out.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Nothing else will matter. What you got on won't matter. Nothing will matter. Nothing will matter but crying out to Jesus. The Bible says, and Jesus stood. You know what that cry caused Jesus to do?
Yeah.
I hear you, son. I hear you, daughter. I hear you.
Amen.
What do you need? What do you need? He says, I hear you. I hear your cry. I hear your cry. I think it's in Mark. It's where it says that he stood still. He stopped. Not only do you have to come into your real condition, you have to have a sincere cry. But you've got to confess your need. You've got to confess your need. Jesus said in verse 41, he says, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. My God, two birds with one stone. That's the way it reads. Because you've confessed me as the Messiah. See, that's what, thou son of David, have mercy. That cry was basically confessing that you are the one. You are the Messiah, the one that come to take away the sins of the world. It's you. The one that came to save your people, it's you. I noticed that, and I also noticed that he got real direct with it. He didn't beat around the bush. Some of us have a real tendency of going around the actual problem versus just hitting the nail on the head and saying, Jesus, I need this. I need help in my marriage. Jesus, I need help in my finances. Jesus, I need help on my job. Jesus, I need help with my tongue. Jesus, I need help with my telephone. Come on. Jesus, I need help with this and I need help with that. Listen, you see, you have not because you ask not.
Come on.
We don't get what we need because, Brother Skip, we don't ask for it.
Come on,
preacher. We ask amiss. We don't get what we need because we don't ask. Friend, can I tell you, if you need something, ask for it.
Amen.
Ask for it. Be real about it. Be sincere about it. But not only that, do you see that he confessed what he needed, but the Bible says, and he experienced the cure.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, and immediately he received his sight. Brother Jason, he received his sight.
Amen.
Man, something that maybe he never had before.
Amen.
Maybe something he never had before, Dale, I don't know. But he got what he needed.
Amen.
Because he asked for it. Sincerely, not just a cheeseburger prayer. I'm talking about whenever the things that only come by fasting and prayer. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. When you get so sincere and so real with whatever it is you need, that you're willing to do whatever it takes.
Amen.
We just come out here to the rock pile. We just come out here to a thing called a rock pile, and we just had prayer requests in a pile of rocks. Each one of us will bring a rock every day.
Amen.
It'd be on Saturdays and Thursdays, I think, one time we switched it, but it would be late at night. You have sometimes we meet over here at 12 o'clock to pray for certain individuals, for certain people. Man, I've seen God move in those times. I've seen God whenever 98% chance was against him. That he's enough. That he's more than enough. I've seen people, kids with blood diseases, with leukemia that needed different levels at a certain height, and he just exceeds them.
Amen.
I've seen people that have had cancer and don't no more.
Amen.
I've seen people getting wrecks that they should have died in.
Well, that's right.
Car looked like a crimped up can. You know why? People got real about it. What's it going to take for us to get real? Individually. What's it going to take for us to get real with our relationship with Jesus? Is it going to take something bad? And I'm just saying this because it's true and it can happen.
Amen.
I've seen it. This happened to me.
Come on.
It's happened to me. I had a friend of mine get shot and killed. And to this day, I think it was for God getting my attention. For me to get real with him. For me to get sold out to him. And to realize that he is God. That he's not just some fairy tale.
Amen.
He's not just somebody in a book. Somebody that, everybody that wears a cross on the neck don't know Jesus.
Amen.
And guess what? I was one of them. I was one of them. And lastly, when Jesus becomes enough in your life, you'll become totally committed to him.
Amen.
I want you to see this. The Bible says in 43, he got what he was after. He says, and immediately he received his sight. Then it's got a comma. A continuation. Listen. It says, and followed him.
Amen.
Glorifying God and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Man, when he becomes enough, we'll be totally committed to him.
Amen.
You know, I spend the time I get to see these ladies behind the scenes at these events. Keep doing what you're doing for Jesus. Keep doing it. I'm telling you, I've watched these ladies and even some of these men in here. That when everybody's gone from these events, there's a few left over. A few people that stay back and they'll clean up. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't never think that it goes unnoticed. Because I notice it and I appreciate it more than y'all will ever know. Teachers, keep teaching for Jesus.
Amen.
Because he's enough.
Amen.
Preacher, keep preaching for Jesus. Because he's enough. Because he's enough. Christian, keep living for Jesus because he's enough. Because he's enough. He is enough. And I truly think that whenever we get to that realization to when he is 100% enough for us and what we're going through, and just even when the times are good, you won't have to beg us to come to church. You won't have to tell us to come into church with a smile on our face. Jesus is enough. And if I had to say it any better, I'd probably have to say that he's more than enough. Because I've seen him be more than enough. As we stand to our feet, Every head bowed, every eye closed.